So go back to Galatians 5. Jason's been going through a kind of, I guess, on a separate piece. He's been going through the fruits of the Spirit and just looking at some of the fruits of the Spirit. And so I was looking this, I've been looking over the last week or so at the book of Daniel and wanted to just touch on a few things that encouraged me there. And it really comes back to faithfulness and seeing the faithfulness you see in Daniel and then in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well. But we see there in Galatians 5:22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and then faithfulness. And Jason's touched on a number of the ones before that, but I just want to use Daniel as an example. So flip with me to Daniel chapter 1. And I think for the most part, everyone, we know the stories of Daniel really well. And so I'm not really going to read through them. What I want to do is just, I guess, touch on a few things in there. It's interesting, though, the one of the key things of this is going back to the prophecy that Jeremiah gave in or that came through Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 29. And I'll touch on just a few of that in the first 14 verses of Jeremiah chapter 29. You get a sense in there of competing prophets, those like, well, we have Jeremiah, who we know was speaking for the Lord, but others that were giving a very different message. So it would have been an interesting time for those that were in exile in Babylon, because you would have had prophets that were saying, well, we know what Jeremiah was saying. Jeremiah was saying, you're going to be there 70 years. And so, it's time to build houses and you can get married, but seek to be a blessing, seek the welfare of Babylon. And in seeking welfare of Babylon, then you yourselves will find welfare. And he says in verse 8, he says, for thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, do not let your prophets who are in your midst and your diviners deceive you, and do not listen to the dreams which they dream, for they prophesy falsely to you in my name, and I have not sent them. For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you. And I guess I'm making an assumption there, and maybe incorrect, but the assumption I'm making is the fact that where you have Jeremiah saying, you know what, build houses and live in them, plant gardens and eat their produce, take wives and become the fathers of sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, seek the welfare of the city where I've sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will have welfare. That was his message. You have to know the message that these other prophets were giving was a different message, probably one of, you know what, let's figure out how to get out of this mess. This isn't, God's going to deliver us from Babylon. We're not going to stay here. You know, perhaps you don't have to seek the welfare. Don't pray for the king. Who knows what it was, but we know that it was very, very different than what Jeremiah was saying. So this is the message as Daniel and these guys left that Jeremiah was giving. And then we see the 70 years happen in the book of Daniel, because we know Daniel went, I think early, I don't know exactly, and maybe if we could, if studying it more, you could see exactly when Daniel went in that 70-year period, but he's there to the end. He serves through four kings, and in the end, we see him praying when he's studying the word and sees this prophecy, and that the end of the 70 years is up. You go sit down, okay? And Joel touched on when he was sharing, because one of the first things that we see happen is that they get called to be evaluated in terms of whether they could go into service for the king. And we know this. The first thing is, we're not going to eat the food. that the king is offering us, and to test us and let us just eat vegetables. And I'm sure we've probably heard many different things of what does that look like to not eat the king's delicacies and eat the vegetables. But I think what Joel shared is totally applicable here. And when we think about sowing to the spirit versus sowing to the flesh, or making compromise, perhaps even is maybe the more dangerous element, where we really are, you know, we want to serve the Lord, but at the same time, we're making compromise and we're partaking of some of the things of this world. We're trying to have both. And you just see a willingness right at the start from Daniel to say, I'm not compromising. I want to remain faithful to the convictions that God has put in my heart, and then come back to this theme of faithfulness. And the other element to me, which I just think was so interesting to me, particularly in the time we're in right now, he didn't get caught up. Like, think about this. People probably thought this is crazy, because you have prophets out there saying, don't serve the king. Let's assume they're saying, don't serve the king. Don't seek the welfare of this country. God's going to deliver us. This is the enemy. Don't serve the enemy. And yet Daniel, he just basically, as I read it, had a hard attitude to say, Lord, wherever you put me, I'm going to be faithful. Whatever you have for me, I'm going to choose to be faithful. If you allow it that I get selected to serve this king, I'll be faithful. I'm going to do it with all my heart. And you see that as it goes on. Because when we get to Daniel getting thrown into the lion's den, does anyone remember, like, the testimony that twice Nebuchadnezzar says of Daniel in there? I'm going to read that for you. Sorry, I don't think it's Nebuchadnezzar. I apologize. It's in Daniel chapter 6. So I think it was at that point, it was Darius was the king. So you see this testimony of Daniel. This is now, who knows how many years later, but this is near the end of the time, because he'd served under Nebuchadnezzar. A bit unclear how much he really was used by Belteshazzar, because when that whole thing happens where Belteshazzar dies, you kind of get the impression that he was not super close with Daniel. And then we get to Darius, and we know that he's appointed to be one of the top three serving Darius. And the testimony that we see, I love, and I think it's a great challenge for us. So in verse 16, he knows the decree has come down, and he knows that it says that now in verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house and he prayed. He knew it had been signed. He knew the outcome of this. And Daniel was a very wise man. I don't think it probably was lost on him that what was the potential outcome for him in this thing. Yet he chose to remain faithful to what his was in his heart, was that he would pray three times a day. And the testimony that he had with the king in verse 16, then the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast into the lion's den. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. And then in verse, jumping down to verse 20, when he had come near to the den, so this is the next morning, he runs to the den, to Daniel. He cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve. Two times, this is the way he described Daniel, as someone who constantly served God. And this was three kings into his time in Babylon. And I just think of when Joel was sharing, as we read in Galatians, let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not lose heart or grow weary, but that we would continue to press on. We would continue to be faithful. And in that, the part that is a challenge to me, and I've been reading with the kids, Paul and Stacy gave us a book that we've been reading, and I just read this thing that really struck me. We want to be faithful in serving the Lord, and it's easy to become ritualistic in our serving of the Lord. And we're going through the motions. We're still doing all the same things. And we could say it's faithfulness, it's perseverance, but you become like the loveless church. And so in our faithfulness, that faithfulness needs to be rooted in a gratitude and a first love for Jesus. And in this story, I can't remember the name of the book. I have to be reminded of that, but it basically is an allegory, I think is the term, where you've got set in a medieval setting, and you've got this boy Josiah. He's under the rule of Satan, goes by a different name in the book, but he's under the rule. And he's come to the end of himself. He's just near death and he can't go on. And he just cries out. And then all of a sudden Jesus comes as King Emmanuel and saves him. And he's so grateful. And it takes you through a long description of that salvation process and how he gets brought to the king to the castle of the king. And the person there named Faithful, who's with Josiah, kind of guiding him in the early days, and literally the first day of his salvation. In the end, he says to Josiah, near the end of the first day, he just says, Josiah, you cannot lose this heart of gratefulness, this heart of thankfulness that you have for the Lord. You have to keep it. And Josiah says, oh, there's no way I'm going to lose this heart of thankfulness. Like I am forever, I will be thankful for what he's done for me because it's all so fresh. It's so real. It's literally the same. It's that day of salvation. He's singing salvation songs, so to speak. And Faithful says to him, he just warns him. He says, that's what you say now. But he says, be on guard because it's so easy for us to lose sight of what God has done for us and to lose that heart of thankfulness. And so when I think about not growing weary in doing good, it's one thing to just say, I'm going to grin and bear it. I'm going to do it. And having that servant heart, but not doing it out of a love for Jesus. And I was challenged by that. And I just think, Lord, again, I'm always challenged when I think of coming back to having this heart of thankfulness, having this heart of gratitude. And then out of that heart of gratitude for what Jesus has done for us, it's that is the element of where we serve from. It's like Mary and Martha. You've got, and I've said this before, you've got Martha who was doing all the work and you got Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, she's chosen the better part. But the quote that I've shared before of what John Wesley said, Lord, give me the hands of Martha and the heart of Mary. And I think that's what we can long for, is to say, Lord, I want to have that heart of Mary. I want to have that love and to always just treasure sitting at your feet. And yet at the same time, I don't want to grow weary of doing good and lose heart like Martha, but I want to do it with the heart that Mary had, a heart that just loved Jesus. And I see that with Daniel. You see that with these other guys, that they made a choice. Yet the other thing, and it comes back a little bit, I had shared, and I know Andrew shared this sermon that we listened to about the process, the crisis and the process. So when we come to a place of testing, a crisis, so to speak, some of that of how we fare, our faithfulness in the crisis can be proved out by the process. And I shared about this one Sunday, but so those that were there have heard it. But just when we talk about the process, it's how disciplined are we? How faithful are we in spending time with Jesus? Because it's that faithfulness that can, in just being with him, can also be what carries us through when we go through times of testing. And you see incredible times of testing in the book of Daniel. You see it when they're thrown into the furnace, and then you see it with Daniel in the lion's den. And the thing that struck me as I was just doing some searches on the word faithfulness, and you go back to Isaiah chapter 43 and a very familiar passage. So this was written, and I don't know this, but it's interesting to me because it's so on point to what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went through. When they knew the consequence of not bowing down, again, it's like Daniel knew the consequence of praying and he was willing to pray and just continue to pray to God. And these guys knew, I will not bow down. I'm not going to compromise. I will remain faithful to what convictions God has put in my heart. And so you see in Isaiah 43, exactly a prophecy, exactly what happened. And we can take this prophecy, praise God, we can take it spiritually, because we may not walk literally through a furnace of fire, but we will walk through circumstances which perhaps feel like fire. And so it says here in Isaiah 43, but now thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And I just share this because I do wonder, have these brothers, this prophecy was written perhaps 100 years before Daniel. And we see the faithfulness again, I might make an assumption here that might not be correct, but I wonder these guys hadn't studied the scriptures and studied the prophecies of Isaiah. And so when this team came, this perhaps is where their confidence rested, was in the word of God, where they say, you know what, our God is able to deliver us. But even if he doesn't, even if God chooses some other end to this, where he chooses that this is the end for us, we're still not going to bow down. We still will remain faithful. And I love the fact of what we see in that, in the choices that they made. But you don't sense this was done out of, with Daniel, I just sense that there was life there. I don't think that the testimony that he has with the kings and that the respect that they had for him, to me in my heart, I think that doesn't come out of legalism of just, I'm ritualistic. I do these things. And so therefore I'm faithful. I think it came because of his love for the Lord. And I actually, many of you have probably seen this movie, Daniel, and it's a little bit older, but it's just the book of Daniel. And you've got, and I just watched some of it last night and I love and rewatched this one part this morning, and it's near the beginning. And again, they've been dragged away, and the four of them are together and they're having a meal together, and they get all concerned, like, well, they're changing our names. They want us to be like them. They're changing our names. They're changing the way we dress. They're just trying to make us forget all these things. We got to vow together. We won't dress like they dress. We won't do, and it's very outward. We won't do all these outward things that they do. And Daniel stops them and just says, brothers, if we dress if we dress like they dress, it doesn't matter. He says, let us not lose sight of loving God and walking in obedience to him. Let's not lose sight of those two things. He said, if we love God and obey him, what they do to us on the outside doesn't matter. He says, those are the two paramount things, and let us not lose sight of that. And I just thought, amen. That is the crux of this. And so we come back I just want to come back to, and Joel shared a bunch of great verses and thoughts on what it looks like to sow to the Spirit. And I just think of, again, coming back to the very beginning where Daniel makes this choice to say, I'm gonna choose the vegetables, test us and see what the result is. And in the end, we know the story is that they were had more wisdom and were healthier than the others who had been feeding on the king's delicacies. And I jotted down a couple of verses of perhaps a few other thoughts that would go along with what Joel had shared in terms of sowing to the Spirit and what that looks like. And there's simple things that we know, but we see in Romans chapter 12, the super familiar passage where Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Or I could say, don't be conformed to this world. Don't try and mingle with this world or have this world while you have Jesus as well. He says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is why we meet. This is why we know the value. Every one of us, I think, knows the value of spending time getting alone with Jesus, whether it's for a couple minutes or longer, whatever the Lord gives us. But the value of being able to renew our minds, to me, is a huge thing in sowing to the Spirit. And then we see too of just that we're on guard. Later, the author of Hebrews says, do not be carried away. In my mind, it can be sowing to the Spirit or feeding on the king's delicacies. I think we can think about that. It can be the things that we partake in. Maybe it's sowing to the flesh. At the same time, let's be on guard against even the doctrines, because it says, don't get carried away by strange teachings, for it's good to be your heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were so occupied were not benefited. And I think that's a danger, even in our Christian walk, things that appear like spiritual, we end up getting caught up in things which ultimately take us away from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ and the gospel that we believe in. And I've been thinking about this as I've been reading this book, and I think about it just lays out so clearly just the salvation story and just the things that it's stressing and the importance of things. I'm like, man, what a blessing just through this book to be reminded of the simplicity of the gospel. And let us not get carried away into other things, because in staying true to the and feeding on the simplicity of the gospel, like it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, that we're longing for the pure milk of the word. I just see this as These are the things that will help us in our walk, in our longing to remain faithful. And then there's the other elements that we've talked so often about, is let's not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And the Lord is stretching us now, as I sit here and I stare at my iPad to share with you, God is allowing us to be stretched in terms of what it looks like for us to spur one another on. And I'm still challenged by this, but I look at Daniel as a great example. Daniel didn't fight the circumstances. I love in the New Living when God reveals the prophecy to him. I'll share this verse with you. So he reveals the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. And this is the way they write in the New Living his praise. Daniel says in verse 20, Daniel praised the God of heaven, and he said, praise the name of God forever and ever. For he has all wisdom and power. He controls the course of world events. That's what it says. I read that. I thought, amen. He controls the course of world events. And so we know, and I think we all agree on this, we know that he's allowed it. And so now I sit here and our fellowship is, I don't know how many screens I can see on my iPad. But in that, it doesn't matter. I was just challenged to say, Lord, I need more faithful, whether it's a phone call, a text message, whatever that looks like, of just that we seek in this time, it's not never been our heart to say, well, we'll resist against the government or do something that they're, it's not our heart. Our heart is to say, Lord, this is, you've allowed this. You control the course of world events. Let us be faithful in it. And let us seek in the midst of this time to our, in ourselves, even like the testimony Harry shared Friday night of making good decisions, of just saying, you know what? I knew I've experienced this. I've shared this. There's been times this summer I just felt like, oh, the last thing I kind of feel like doing is fellowship. I want to go on a vacation. That's what the flesh wants. But having in our minds, like we heard Friday night, but knowing, you know what? The one thing I need right now is fellowship. The most important thing I need is fellowship, that I could be encouraged and strengthened and continue on to remain faithful and to have that first love for Jesus. So I just want to encourage all of us that we would, in the midst of this, in a desire that each of us remains faithful, let us also be faithful in seeking out. And I know there's been wonderful testimonies in our body of those that are really, and it's encouraging for me to see, let us all seek that. How can we continue to spur one another on, continue to build one another up in this time so that we can remain faithful through whatever circumstances may come, because this is the calling. But let's not lose sight that faithfulness, I was encouraged just being reminded this morning, faithfulness is a fruit of the Spirit. He is the one that can help us. And it's so, this is where it comes back to sowing to the Spirit, because in sowing to the Spirit and building up in allowing our faith to be built and walking in obedience to the Spirit, as it says just before in Galatians chapter 5, and not walking according to the flesh, then his Spirit in us can help us and produce a deeper work of that faithfulness. And so it's just the encouragement I have for us this morning, building on what Joel had shared about not growing weary or losing heart, but let us each continue to press on. Let us each continue to seek to be found faithful. And we can see examples of that through the scriptures, through Daniel. And I was encouraged by that this morning. So anyway, I hope that that's a blessing to you and an encouragement to you this morning.